right. Well, we are not going to have a missionaries list or a letter tonight, but we do. We're going to move on to our services. Of course, the children are dismissed to go to their classes or classes. And you're welcome to move on there. Okay. I'd like to encourage you to take those prayer lists with you. Sometimes I snap a picture of it, and I'll pray for some of these prayer lists, some of the things on the prayer list through the week. And that's a good way to do it. You go, oh, I wish I could remember that name or whatever. Well, if you have a picture of it, you can just kind of look at it and then pray for it real quick. And it doesn't have to be anything extensive, but if we're praying, you know, God hears those prayers, and he'll bless our efforts in doing that. If you'll, actually, I need to get on in tune here with my mic. Okay, it's not quite Halloween yet. All right, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Thank the Lord that I was able to get here. You know, I've worked every day. Monday, okay, got off about noon, maybe it was 1 o'clock. Tuesday, noon, 1, 2 o'clock. And then all of a sudden today, boom, I get off like 5, 5:30. I was rushing to get out of there and get home and get here. So that's what happens, you know, on Wednesday night, especially when I'm filling in. So please pray that I'll be able to get here on time for these services. I really enjoy it. This is a highlight for me to be able to be in church. It should be a highlight for all of us to be in church, be committed to church. And, you know, when we're committed to church, when we're committed to coming to church, I hope you'll pray that God speak to me. And hopefully you're coming and you're encouraged by singing some songs. If you're possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you, that should do something for you. When you come and sing, it ministers to your heart, and it gives honor and glory to our Savior. And so it's our ability to worship. And we have that freedom here in America still. Amen? And people have fought for that freedom, and we have it. And praise the Lord for that. At this present time, we still have that freedom. That's a blessing. Luke chapter 12, we're talking about living by faith. We're talking a little bit tonight. And so I don't know how far we'll go into this, but Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. We'll start off there. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? What a problem they have, huh? It's like, you know, if you have too much money, where am I going to put all this money? You know, the bank says, we're not taking any more of your money. We got too much of it already. You'll never have a bank tell you that, okay? Even if you're the Clampets or whoever, you know, you're going to, you know, we got, you know, they're not going to tell you that. They'll find a place for it. They'll put some wheelbarrows in their vault, whatever they got to do. But to think of the thought here, and he thought to him within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room for to bestow my fruits? In verse 18, and he said, this will I do. Aha, what will I do? I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will ye clothe, or more will he clothe you? O ye of little faith, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sounds like a promissory, amen? For fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, once again, we just pray that you bless our time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, despite the fact that I know, I believe that you desire for us to be industrious. Lord, our main thing is to have that relationship with you and that we would be rich towards you. I pray that you would just bless our time together in your word and help us, Lord, that we would glean much, we pray. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm amazed how he's thinking here. And he must be thinking like some people do. Some people are tearing down the old stuff, and it looked pretty good. The old stuff sometimes looks pretty good, and now they're going to build something bigger, better, whatever. And it can hold all the treasures that are there. And I'm amazed at how people do that. I'm always kind of tickled sometimes how someone's always moving up to a bigger boat, too. You ever heard these yachts? You know, that was the old yacht. That yacht was only 300 feet long. Now my new yacht's 400 feet long. And I got a little submarine inside or some helicopters or all kinds of stuff. They're building bigger and better. But if he's off the scene, if he dies, if he's away, you know, who's all that going to be belonging to? But then he's lost it. And if we're not careful, we could become like that person where he'll say, well, I'm going to have to tear down some things. I'm going to have to build up bigger. What a problem to have. But we see here that we see here at the opening of Luke 12, we see Jesus surrounded by a multitude of people. Their needs were many, and the questions were diverse. Among the questions asked was one by a man who had concern over a family inheritance. In verse 13, and so he had a question about that. We see also he felt like he was a victim of injustice. And let me tell you what, today we have a lot of people that feel like they are getting some injustice. And you don't have to go far before injustice will find you. And we as Christians, there's people around the world, they feel like they're not getting justice. There's people all over the place that aren't getting justice. And we understand that today, note often, we want an answer from God, but in reality, we're not even asking the right questions. The Lord senses in this man that he is a spirit of covetousness. And we see this in verse 15. He says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of the covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So you know what? We think about all the things we can collect. I know people are big collectors today, aren't they? I know some people, they collect shoes. Some people collect baseball cards. Some people collect all kinds of cars. Jay Leno, he's got the big garage with all these cars in it. And so they collect. Some people collect buildings. Trump, yeah, you know, he used to collect buildings, and I don't know what he's doing now. But but people collect stuff, and they collect stuff. But we understand that the Lord senses that this man has covetousness. We got to be careful with covetousness, don't we? Looking at what other people have and say, boy, I'd like to, what would it be like to be like that? Wow. And yet not happy and thankful for where God has put you and what God has given you. We as Christians, I mean, it blows away everything that you could ever obtain on earth is the fact that our inheritance that we're looking forward to. I mean, you can look at the poverty, you can look at the person that does nothing and goes to heaven, and he'll have so much more than the richest person on this planet. Or you could add them all up together, and they're still not going to add up to what you have if you've done nothing for the Lord. But if you love the Lord and you start serving the Lord and you tell someone else about the gospel, and you, or else you invite someone to church and they get saved, you had a part in that. Watch out for those crowns. Watch out for the blessings of God, and He'll bestow upon you. And He, our God, is a generous God. Our God is a wonderful God. He's sharing His inheritance with us. And so we see that wonderful thing. We think about how covetousness, he saw that need in his life, and many people today have a problem with covetousness. We're such a materialistic people today, in California especially. Oh, you got to have the latest car, the latest house, latest golf cart, you know. Have you seen some of these golf carts? They look like Lamborghinis or SUVs or something like that. I see them driving by all the time, you know, it's like in certain places. But we understand that we see that the Lord is here, and he's seen all this. There was an obvious lack of faith in this man's life, that this man was living totally by sight and not by faith. We could be living by sight sometimes, but not by faith. But what God wants us to do is He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to live by faith. We see that, number one, the trouble with earthly thinking, Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, there where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, I think so many of us, we're grounded too tight to the world, to this earth. We're grounded to this earth so well. You know, I don't know about if you ever heard of a ground, but sometimes you ground a battery to the chassis so it doesn't go anywhere, of course, but it's grounded. It's grounded. And some people, they'll ground a house, they'll ground different things, and they'll torque things down to where it's not going to go anywhere. They'll ground, they'll torque a house to the foundation to make sure it doesn't go anywhere in case something happens, like an earthquake or things like that. And they have the different, and that house isn't going anywhere, hopefully. And tornadoes can kind of come along, and they can torque those ones in the tornado alley to where they can survive certain levels of tornadoes. And they're grounded. They're not going to go anywhere, hopefully. And but we understand that God doesn't want us to be grounded. He doesn't want us to get so in love with this world that we're not ready to go. There's coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and we need to set our affections on things above. And we're not, if you're not coming to church, you're not setting your affections on things above. We see number A, the process of thinking. In verse 16, we see here of our text, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, you know, just even within that right there, we see that the guy is just, he's made it. He's arrived. And, you know, we as Christians, we need to, if anybody, need to know that we'll never arrive until we get to heaven. You'll never arrive. I don't care how special you think you are. We understand that when we get to heaven, we'll have arrived. We'll get to heaven. And hopefully, when we get to heaven, Lord willing, well done, thou faithful and good servant. And we see here, this person, he's ready to kick back and take his ease. Not a good thing. And we as Christians, we can think we've got things going pretty good. We could put things on autopilot and get things going along a certain way. And yet we're taking it easy. And God doesn't want us to take it easy. You know, the Bible talks about we need to be working now because there's a nighttime coming. There's a time coming to where we will not have that ability to, faith will not be a factor. When we get to heaven, faith is not going to be a factor. It's going to be right before our eyes. We have time now to pray. We have time now to get into God's word. We have time now to tell others about Christ. We see that, and this process of thinking, it was not good. And Jesus points it out. He says, wow, you know, we see that in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, the Bible talks about how life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a while. I know the desert out here, we have vapors. You look down out and down the road and you may see vapors. Just, it looks like water or squiggly lines going up. And those are vapors. And the Bible talks about how our life is like a vapor. In comparison to eternity, it's just like a vapor. It's there for a while and all of a sudden it disappears. And you know, what we do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. We think for the time that we spent for Christ, those are the things that are going to go all along with us. We also see he lived life by sight. This guy, he lived life by sight. He could see the fruits he had. He says, where am I going to put all this stuff? I don't, you know, sometimes it's an amazing thing how some people, they're not very giving people. You know, there's some people in America today, they're wealthy and they give a lot of money to people that are in need. They have to work at it. And they do work at it. I do know some wealthy people. I do know that they train up their kids to give back and get out there and give some of the wealth that they have back to out there because they believe God would have them do that. And that's a wonderful thing. But this guy was just thinking about, he's a hoarder. He was going to hoard all that he had, everything that he had. I have to have a place for all this stuff. Look, this stuff is piling up. I have to build bigger barns. And so what a terrible thing this is. We think about how let's go to Psalms chapter 49, if you would. Psalms 49. Psalms 49. In verse 10, if you would. I was going to go 11, but I think we'll go ahead and read verse 10 too. So we see here in verse 10 of Psalms 49, "For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names." Now, you know what? I know some people that have named streets after their kids. Okay? And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying you got to come up with names. Yeah. But I know people that have developed roads and different things, and they've ended up naming things after their own kids and after their own families, developments and things like that. And that's natural. But it's amazing how in the Bible here it talks about how there's a connection here. And their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever and their dwelling places in all generations. And they call their lands after their own names. They have names. And they're going to call it after their own names. And we think about how they get so connected to this world, you know. And that they're calling the land after their own names. We as Christians, I'm telling you what, we're so earthly minded sometimes. And we're not heavenly minded. We need to be heavenly minded. We need to be thinking about the future and setting our sights on things above. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." And so we see the vanity of it all. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with making money, by the way, as long as the money doesn't have you. There's nothing wrong with having silver as long as the silver doesn't have you. There's nothing wrong with having, let's say, a toy. Would you say like a certain thing that you have a boat or you have an RV or whatever, as long as it doesn't have you. And what I mean is it doesn't have you is that it does not keep you out of church. It doesn't keep you away from the Lord. It doesn't get between you and the Lord. If it has you, it keeps you, it comes between you and the Lord. It becomes an idol. It becomes a problem. We got to look at our lives and take inventory and say, is there something in my life that isn't where it needs to be? And sometimes we need to be careful. I remember my brother, I'm going to say who it was, one of my brothers, years ago, he was praying about selling his skis. He loved to ski, snow ski, by the way. He water skied too, but he snow skied. He loved that. He had skis. He had the latest skis up in Seattle at that time. And he had skis, really nice skis, spent a lot of money on them. And he was thinking, Lord, you know what? He felt as if, you know what? If this is something that's become between me and you, I want my way clear. So he ended up putting them in the paper and he tried to sell them. And he thought he was selling them for a pretty good price. He says, Lord, you know what? If this is something you want out of my life, I'm willing to sell it. And he tried to sell them, and he prayed. He says, God, if you want this out of my life, get this out of my life. And ended up not selling because it wouldn't sell. For some reason, it didn't sell. He says, okay, Lord. But he had things in his life in the past. He had a car one time. He had a car, and he realized at one point that he kept that car absolutely spotless. It was a 1972 Nova. Chevy Nova, bought a brand new. I don't know if it was a 350 or whatever they had in it. And you know, you could look at that engine and you didn't see all the other garbage you see in there now, but it was a beautiful car. It had greenish paint. It was all beautiful. It had just sparkles in it and everything. It was just perfect. I remember seeing that car and my brother would admit it was an idol in my life. It came between me and the Savior. And my brother started taking inventory of things that were getting between him and the Savior. And he started saying, you know what, God, if this is something that's in my life, I'm willing to get rid of it totally because I love you so much. And, you know, sometimes we need to take inventory in our lives. And you know what? If this is going to keep me from serving God, then it's more important for me to serve God. And so we need to do the right thing. We think about how the fact that today we as Christians, we need to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be following him and serving him and seeking him. And if there's something that comes between you and the Lord, I tell you, we need to get it right. We need to get it where it needs to be. And God is so good. But you know, there in Acts chapter 12. Let's turn back there if you're not there yet, or back there already. I'm not, so I'm just going to go to Acts chapter 12 here, or Luke chapter 12. I'm sorry. See, I had you all mixed up here. Luke chapter 12. Been a long day. Anyways, but we see here in verse 21, we think about how in verse 21 he says, "So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We think about the fact that, you know, it's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth. There's nothing wrong with that, utilizing money right, in the right way. But I understand that the fact that this person needed to be rich towards God. He wasn't rich towards God. We need to be rich towards God. We need to be willing to do with what God has allowed us to have, and we need to use it for his glory. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure you've heard me talk about this if you've been here long enough. One of my older employers some years ago was telling me he had a dairy. It wasn't a dairy. It was actually a distribution company. And it was a multi-million dollar company. And when I first started there years ago, he had me come in the office, things like that. And he welcomed me to the company. And he said he just went through this bill. He went through this bill with every employee that came in. He says, you know what? He says, John, if you end up somehow stealing from me, you're not stealing from me. You're stealing from God. Because everything I have belongs to God. Now, yeah, it just blew me away. I was a Christian at the time. And I was thinking, man, where do you hear that? And I'm thinking, this guy, you know, but you could see the hand of God blessing this man because he had given God and he was rich towards God. This is a man that, you know, I mean, he didn't go out and tell you what he did and how much he gave and all these different things, but you'd hear stuff. And I remember hearing him, he took a missionary out one time and supposedly his church gave a huge amount of money to missions every year. But he took a missionary out and discovered the man had a need for a car. So he ended up giving him his car. It was just a year old. It was like a Cadillac or something like that. And he ended up giving his car to the missionary. Now, you know, I'm not saying we should give our cars away, but I'm just saying that was his heart. He saw what this missionary needed, and he had a heart for God. He had a heart for that missionary. And I think today we need to take inventory of our lives and see what really matters and be going in the right direction. And really, the blessings of God, we could be used to God, or else we can kind of like lay dormant. You know what I'm saying? You know, we could do things for God as far as giving. You know, you really, if you're not giving to God in offerings, like I say, if you're not giving your tithe and offerings to this church, if you're a member of this church, if you're not giving your offerings to this church, you're really just kind of penalizing yourself.
Amen.
You are. You're missing out on the blessings of God. We see that today, the priority of giving. You know, some people today, many Christians have the gift of giving, but they've never developed it. They have a gift of giving, but they've never developed it. They've never allowed God to help them to develop it. And I believe today we have many different gifts in the church, and we would, if we could just develop it. Maybe you have a gift, and I say we all need to be giving out the gospel, giving out a gospel tract, different things like that. But maybe you're good at witnessing more than some people are. And maybe that's something you need to develop in your life. Maybe you have small things that you could do for somebody in being kind to your neighbor and encouraging them. Some people have a gift of encouragement. They'll go to the hospital and encourage people and tell them, we're praying for you, and they'll encourage them. You ever heard Brother Lou's up here, and he'll talk about people he talks to on the phone, and he wants to be an encouragement to them. Hey, we'll pray for you, and he'll find other Christians. But you don't know until you talk to them whether they're a Christian and what needs they have. We think about being a gracious givers, gracious with our time, gracious with our the things that we do, and developing the gifts that God has given us. We see Proverbs 11:16 says, "A gracious woman retains honor, and strong men retain riches." We think about how it's important for us to have and utilize what God has given us. Matthew 6:20 says this, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now, if you get a car from the Great Lakes area, guess what happens with those cars? If you've bought a car that's spent time there, rust, that's right. You may not have any structure underneath the car, because it's rusted away. But we think about this world. This world is decaying. Everything that is in this world is decaying and growing away. But we think about the treasures that we put forth and we've passed on into the future, into heaven. Moth isn't going to be there, eaten away. The rust isn't going to be eaten away. It's going to be just as good a million years down the road as it was the day you got it. And that's incredible. Same with your body. We think the blessings of God, and we see that these are the things that God has waiting for us. But we wouldn't know unless we put we're a little bit heavenly minded, let's say. We need to be a little heavenly minded. How do you get heavenly minded? You get into God's word. You start contemplating about what God has in store for you and the relationship you have right now with him. And you build that relationship. You get close to the Lord. Draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. There was a certain cat. Now, we have a couple of cats at home. I'm really not a cat lover or anything like that. I pet them. I let them in and things like that. And, you know, I care about the cats. But we have three cats. There's one that's a feral cat, and she doesn't want to come in at all. She looks at the door and, no. And then we have two other cats. We'll gladly come in, you know. They love the coolness of our house, and they love coming in and just taking it easy and things like that. But there was a cat that was, there was a woman that had this cat, and she loved, and it had died. His name was Homer. She called the local Baptist church and asked the minister if he performed funerals for cats. Of course, he said no, and suggested she call the Presbyterian church. He thought that they conducted funerals for cats. And of course, the Presbyterian church didn't either, and so they referred her to the Methodist church in town. The Methodist church passed and said, "Sorry, but we don't perform funerals for cats either." So finally, she called the Baptist minister back, and she was so frustrated that she said, "It's not like I'm looking for something for nothing. I'm more than willing to pay for the funeral for my cat Homer. In fact, I was going to give $1,000. And immediately the pastor interrupted and said, "Why didn't you tell me that your dearly beloved departed Homer was a Baptist? We would be happy to have the funeral." Oh, Homer, I'm telling you. So here's a quote. "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." One of the reasons why we have such a hard time talking about money is because when you really understand it, money is life translated in currency. We're going through a time, we think about how we're going through a time where we have inflation. How many of us have seen inflation happen lately? We have gas prices going up, where the bread's going up. You go to the store and everything's gone up. But you know, we understand that we as Christians, we believe that God will supply our needs, amen? Regardless what's going on, God will supply our needs. It's called God's economy. And God has a way of blessing his people. And he will bless, and he'll bless you, and he'll meet your needs as you do the things for God that honors and glorifies him. But we understand that money is who we are and what we do. Money is not who we are or what we do, but money is simply taking the hours and the sweat and the work of your life and translating it into coinage that represents who you are. Money is money is naturalized citizen of every land and speaks all languages. We think about the fact that it costs money to have missionaries, amen? And we're able to get behind them. And, you know, where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be. And, you know, if we put a little of our treasure into these missionaries, guess what? There's a good chance that you're going to pray for them. You're going to feel like praying for them. That's where we're putting some of our hard-earned money towards those missionaries. You're going to pray for them. We understand that today we have trouble in our lives today because there's too much of earthly thinking. But also we see that the truth about things, they cause worry. The more things you have, more worry you have. You ever notice that? You're worried about that. You have a second house, or hope it's okay. You got a security system. You can't be there all the time. You're hoping everything's okay. There's many different things we worry about. The more we have, the more we worry about. We understand that we think about the evidences of worry. This man was certainly worrying. He was thinking about all that he had, and he was beginning to worry. Boy, look at this stuff is piling up. I got to build bigger barns, tear down the old stuff, build bigger. And we understand that today we can have worry in our lives. We don't need to worry, do we? Do you think God wants us to worry? No, he doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to trust him. When we're worrying, there's not room for faith. When we're worrying, there's not room for God in our lives. When we're worrying, rather than letting God take care of things, knowing that God is in control, we look around, we wonder what's going on. We know that things are upside down politically. We know things are upside down in people's lives and the things that are going on all around the world. And yet, God is still in control. Amen. God is still in control. And we understand that God has us here for a purpose, and we need to follow that purpose. We understand that the root of worry, we see that it's a lack of faith. It's also of a doubtful mind many times because we doubt. We doubt. The devil works on people to get them to doubt. He works them over. If you get, you know, the devil, what he tries to do, he tries to distance you from God. And when he does, he's able to do that. He's able to get you doubt, and he'll get you doubting about your salvation. If he gets you to get a little further away from God, he gets you busy with something, whatever, and you don't spend as much time reading God's word, you don't spend enough time praying to God, you begin to doubt. He brings doubt in your life. And so we need to have those. We need to have faith, a faith in God. We need to have God working in our lives. I tell you, this church needs Christians that have faith, that have optimism in knowing that God is in control. And no matter what we've had, no matter what is going on in our lives, and our lives sometimes can be upside down, we need to have faith in God and know that he's in control and he cares about us. And we think about how important it would be, what a great thing it would be that we think about. I know this church is a great giving church. Thank the Lord that this church is a great giving church. We've gone through a summer. Usually summers go like that. We've just kind of just kept on going. And great offerings. And that perhaps is a barometer of your heart. But let me tell you, it's not all about money, too. We need to have a heart that goes for God. We need to have a relationship with him. God has some great things in store for us if we'll continue to be faithful. Faithful to God. Trusting him and having that walk with him that we need. Listen to this verse, and we'll conclude here. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 4-5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Amen. What a great opportunity we have to prove God, to stand on his promises, and see what God does in our lives. If we don't stand on his promises, we can't expect to see God work in our lives. But we can have the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How's your faith doing tonight? How's your faith doing tonight? We think about this man here in the Bible. He's going to build bigger barns. Tear down the old ones. The old ones were probably okay, but they're just not big enough. What a terrible problem to have. But think about it today. How's your faith doing today? How's your faith doing today? Let me encourage you to trust God and get back in and have that relationship. Make it a priority. And the devil will do all that he can to keep you from reading God's word. He'll do all that he can to keep you from coming to church. He'll do all that he can from keeping you from giving to God what he really belongs to God, amen, many times. He'll do all that he can to do that, to get us on the wrong side of the tracks, let's say, or on the wrong side of God. I'm telling you, he's a spoiler. He likes to spoil it. He's spoiling this world. We need to trust God. We need to have that faith. And we need to set our affections on him, on things in heaven, not on earth. I'll tell you what, let me encourage you. Don't watch you get on that news too much. You get on the news, after about 5 minutes, you're going, "Man, I'm depressed." People in New York, they're going, "They can't believe how things are happening in New York." They've got stuff happening every single day. There's something happening, major happening. Someone robbing this or shooting that person or doing this and that. Things are upside down and terrible, and the news is that way. But let me encourage you, get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on the Lord. Things are going a certain way, and I'll tell you what, but God is still in control. We need to trust him. We need to be heavenly minded and keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord.